As a 16-year-old, Elliot's like, yo, dude, she time travels via pond. Be careful with that one. Welcome to Girls Gone Hallmark, a Hallmark review podcast. I'm Megan, and I'm a longtime Hallmark fan.
I'm Wendy, and I'm a former Hallmark hater.
What's that look?
Because you were like, I'm a Hallmark fan.
Because I drop the movie when we do Way Home episodes. I usually say Hallmark movie fan.
Got it.
It's the first episode of the day. I gotta shake the dust off.
Yeah.
Today, we are reviewing and recapping The Way Home, Season 2, Episode 9, Here Without You. When this episode is over, you can still hang out with us. Find us on Instagram. We have two accounts. We are at Girls Gone Hallmark and at Megan and Wendy.
Come on over to our Facebook group, Girls Gone Hallmark. I just let somebody in today.
Me too.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
We're not just all about Hallmark. We love Hallmark, but we're moms. We're friends. We like beauty. We like travel. We like talking about life in the trenches of parenting teenagers. We like talking pop culture outside of Hallmark, and you can get all of that on our Patreon account, including rapid fire life updates. Wendy had very big news this morning, so you should be following our Patreon. You can get a full week completely free, and you have access to every single back episode in that week. Challenge yourself, see how many episodes you can listen to during that time. But we hope you'll stick around after that. It's just $5 a month. Y'all, you can't even get lunch at McDonald's for $5. It costs like $15 to buy lunch for one person.
When did it get so expensive?
I don't know. You can find that linked in our show notes, but we're also patreon.com/Megan and Wendy. We'd love to have you. This episode is titled Here Without You. That is a 2009 song from the band Three Doors Down.
I have 2003.
Huh.
It's from the 2000s. We'll just call it.
Really? I believe you. We do have a brand new director for this episode.
We sure do.
This episode was directed by John Fawcett. He has 56 directing credits on IMDb. This does appear to be his first Hallmark directing credit. Mm-hmm. Tons of TV series directing. Fairly recent credits include Orphan Black, Devil in Ohio, and The Man in the High Castle. He has a darker repertoire than the Hallmark rom-coms.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. But again, I just don't, how do you mesh all these visions together?
I'd love to know. I'd love to talk behind the scenes with someone.
Too.
If you want to be that person, email us, manganandwendy@gmail.com. Let's hear a synopsis.
All three Landry women feel the absence of a key ally in their lives as they struggle to make life-altering decisions and choices.
We have a handful of plot categories.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to hear them?
Yes.
First up, we have Dell selling the Landry lands. Next up, the Lingermore drama and the aftermath / Dell and Kat's estrangement origin story.
Okay.
We have 1814, Jacob, Thomas, Susanna, Kat, Elijah, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have present day Elliot and Nick and a little bit by extension, Kat. And finally, present day baby storyline, Brady comes to town. And there's some resolution. His character is kind of necessary there for some resolution with Kat and Atlas by extension.
Talk about baby storyline. I don't even remember him in the episode.
He's there throughout. So let's start with that. Let's just get that out of the way. He's there throughout. He shows up. And the reason he is there is Adele had sent him the
paperwork,
the sales agreement. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I thought I'd just come by and take a look from Minneapolis. Or is he staying nearby? It's unclear. So that's why he's there. But when he originally shows up, he's like, where's Alice? Because they don't know.
Yeah.
And then it comes back, Alice is there, and where's Kat? And he kind of is like, I don't know if she's doing a very good job parenting you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He wants Alice to come to Minneapolis with him and then decides like, oh, Kat, never mind. You're a good mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have that nice moment. You're a good mom. There is a conversation that Alice and Brady have because Alice is on a little bit of an existential crisis, having seen her own origin story, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she saw right before her mom found out, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, but their life changed on a dime when Kat found out that she was pregnant. And so she talks to him about how, you know, mom gave up going to London, and you see like a look on Brady's face, and we find out that he didn't know mm-hmm. that Kat had gotten into grad school in London. But ultimately, it's a happy ending.
Let's go back to 1814, since everybody hates 1814.
You want
to
get into
it? I love 1814, for the record. Kat asks Jacob to return. Mm-hmm. He says no. Mm. And Kat's like, well, what next then? Basically, like, I just found you. Now I have to leave you here. Mm-hmm. Kind of a good question, because, like, can she come back and forth? Like, the pond takes you where you need to go.
Yeah, how long will she be able to continue traveling there? A Redditor pointed out the show is called The Way Home. So that has a lot of meanings, I think. But also, Jacob's really fresh with this new information. We learn a lot, right? We learn that Rebecca, when she found him, did not disclose his origin to Elijah. She said she found him wandering in the woods, although Rebecca knew that he came out of the pond. She hid his modern-day clothing.
Right.
And didn't tell Elijah until she was on her deathbed. And they never told Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you explain that to an 8-year-old.
I was just going to say, like, people have enough trouble, like, explaining adoption. They're like, yeah, so you came out of the pond.
Yes. And what's to stop him from leaping back in?
Sure.
She was grieving. He was healing to her. And as Kat points out, there would be no modern day Landrys without Jacob, because Elijah says, we stayed in Port Haven because of you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting. I imagine, like, if Jacob were to leave 1814 and go back to present day, then that would alter, like, if the timelines are moving at the same, parallel.
But why?
Well, that's because, like, obviously, did Jacob have a family, and then, like, more Landrys then came down the, you know, succeeded?
No.
Okay.
Colton is descended from Elijah and Rebecca, and then they have William, their son.
And little Jacob.
So we don't need Jacob's lineage to create the Landrys. The Landrys would have always existed. They exist in Port Haven because Jacob arrived there and kept them there. Elijah says, we stayed here because we found you here. I guess Rebecca didn't want to move away. I don't know if they thought maybe someday someone would come for him. But Elijah does say we stayed because of
him. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
So while I do think going back would pose a lot of challenges, because Jacob doesn't know what it means to live in the modern world, having spent 24 years.
Yeah, but Kat's adapted to 1814.
I think it's much easier to adapt to 1814 for a day than it is to show up in a world where there is electricity and the internet and cars. He doesn't know how to use any of that.
Who cares? He can learn. I mean, other than, like, having to explain where he's been, like, they can make this whole, like, story of, like, he was kidnapped, right? And found his way back home to Port Haven after 24 years or whatever. I don't know. Like, it can be easily explained away.
That's the bigger question. How do they explain? I hadn't even really thought about that. I just thought about him adjusting to life in a world that he doesn't know, even though it's the same town. It remains to be seen if he'll change his mind, but he currently wants to stay.
I think he's going to change his mind, and here's why. I think it is him at the in the bushes watching Colton and his
young Elliot.
Isn't Jacob there? Like, young Jacob? Isn't young Jacob there?
I think he's at that event, but isn't it Colton and Elliot having a conversation when we see that figure in the bushes?
I can't recall.
I believe it is, because I think that's the time period when Colton is saying to Elliot, you know, we've added electricity to the clubhouse so you can still be there when the time changes and it gets dark earlier and spend all the time you want there. And they have that moment where they're establishing Colton as this safe space, as this father figure for Elliot. That's my memory of that moment. I do think Jacob's running around. Everyone's there.
So who do you think is watching from the bushes? I know we're skipping ahead to Unsolved Mysteries, but
I'm okay with it being Jacob.
Yeah, maybe it's going to be Elliot too, and then that's going to be like our season three.
I don't think Elliot time travels. I feel like the time travel runs on the Landry bloodline.
I agree. I read on Reddit that somebody's like, oh, if Jacob does go back, it's going to put him in like 1999.
See, that doesn't make sense to me because the Jacob going back to 1999 as a 32-year-old. But look, I've never read. So I let's see.
All right. Okay.
More with the 1814 Landrys.
Yes.
We get some resolution here on some of our storylines. Elijah brings out the almanac. And Kat's pushing him. You know, he says, our family history is recorded here. And she says, what about Jacob? And he turns to the page where he tells Jacob's entire story. Jacob overhears this whole conversation.
Super pissed.
And comes in mad that they never told him that, you know, you knew all along where I came from and you never told me. We learn the origin of the ripped page in the almanac. He rips out that page. And then we also learn that he writes in the margins the line about explorers, and we had assumed that was a note to Kat, a clue for Kat. Mm-hmm. He was sending mommy mail, something we see in this episode.
Yeah.
A note to his mother to let her know that he's okay.
Yeah, but Del's never made that connection, right? Not that we've seen.
Not that we've seen.
All right. I thought he was going to sit down and write a letter and then put it in the stones in the fireplace.
Okay, so let's talk about the stones.
Okay.
We do get a little bit of that.
Yeah.
There's one point. Well, Susanna wants to go back with Kat.
Yeah.
You know, I love this asks, for her. You know, she says, like, is it different for women? Are there more women like you? And it would be great for you. And I don't disagree. Like, obviously, Susanna is a progressive woman. Obviously, the pond does not let her go back.
Right.
Which is heartbreaking. I think she and Kat have a really, like, their bond is so lovely. We don't have the loss of Jacob and the loss of Colton in this season, but we did have a lot of moments in this episode that I thought tried to capture the drama of those moments. And I thought the conversation that Kat and Susanna have about, Susanna says, I'm not going to marry Jacob. I'm not the right person for him. She quotes Jane Austen, although she doesn't know she's quoting Jane Austen.
Yeah.
And they talk about, we'll stay connected to each other. We, you know, we have this home, and they touch the fireplace. And she says, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we're all looking at the same moon, right? She says, like, go to the fireplace.
Right.
It's obviously, it feels like they're shouting clues at us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see at some point, you know, someone's going to say, wait, I know Kat's going to be. She'll go to the fireplace. She's eventually going to find this thing that we've left for her. There has to be.
What are they going to leave for her?
I don't know, but there has to be something.
I agree. There's got to be something.
Perhaps it's a note from Thomas Coyle. When Kat goes back, it does seem like she's saying goodbye to Thomas. She does say goodbye for now, but she doesn't know. I will say at the very beginning of this scene, Kat seems to have forgotten the rule of the pond because she jumped in the pond to go find Alice post Lingermore.
Yes.
And she went to 1814.
She's like, what am I doing here?
Yes. You can't control it. It's not a DeLorean. I did like him saying, perhaps you'll allow me to carry part of your heart.
Oh, man. I wanted them to kiss here in this moment. And he just like turns and walks away.
Me too. And that's all we get from 1814.
Yes. Let's talk the anticlimactic Lingermore.
I was insistent that there had to be more. And I guess there is more, but there isn't more in some ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. Kat gets clocked on the head. She's unconscious for a period of time. Alice is having an existential crisis because she feels like, what does this mean for me? And we do learn the origin of the hole in Elliot's wall early in this episode. I like the way it fuels the storyline.
Sure. Okay.
We had assumed that it was Vic.
Yeah.
And he freaks out, quite frankly, understandably.
Yeah, of course.
Like, he's blaming himself. Kat's unconscious. The police are coming. He threw this party that he wasn't. So there's all these things happening that are very terrifying. He's 24 years old, although
scarier if you're 17. Again, this is my beef. Like, they are in their mid-20s at this point. Yes, you shouldn't have been throwing a party at a house that does not belong to you. And
they read 17 to me throughout this entire episode up until the moment Kat confronts Del. But every other time, this is like they're 17 years old to me.
Agree.
I know this isn't like rocket science, but when Kat's laying in the hospital, you know, 24-year-old Kat, I was like, oh, she's going to be pregnant. Mm. Like, I knew immediately that's what they're going to be like. Oh, you and the baby, you're fine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, now this like totally makes sense. The whole thing that adult Elliot was telling young Alice was, you remember when he was like, oh, please forgive me. Is it because he was trying to get Kat to leave to London? That's it?
Yes, because Alice felt like that would, young Elliot knew that she's Kat's daughter.
Yes.
So he knew she had to end up with Brady. And Alice felt like he was trying to erase her by taking him away.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, unfortunately, Alice didn't realize, like, oh, wait, I do exist in present day. So, like,
if this event that I'm going to be mad at you about, we know that happened, but obviously it resolved itself because I'm here.
Exactly. So she would have just been mad at Elliot's intentions, right? It's just...
Yes, that makes sense.
It's just... And they show her. She's like, never talk to me again. And I was just like, that is such a dumb thing to be, like, upset about.
You don't think a 16-year-old is seeing this in the past, realizing that Elliot cared. Elliot, in that moment, was not concerned about Alice. He was like, Kat's here. She's going to go with me to London. I don't care what this means for future Alice. I'm going to shoot my shot.
Yeah, of course.
And she's mad about it.
I just think
there
were no consequences, though.
Sure. I don't think that matters when you're 16.
But what I'm more annoyed about is, like, Elliot, like, holding on to this thing, like... Because let's go back to that conversation that Kat and Elliot had when at the open mic thing. And Kat was like, oh, God, Alice is going to see what happened, isn't she?
Yeah. Doesn't Kat say, I hope she forgives me?
Yeah. It's like,
what does Alice have to be mad at Kat about?
I don't know. I know we're on a podcast. I'm raising my hands in the air. I'm like, I don't know.
That I don't know either. That felt like it was just more
dramatic drama. Yeah,
Elliot says, you'll be okay. You always are. Yeah. There's really nothing here that lends itself. Maybe it's because Kat was willing to go with Elliot too, but there's nothing for her to be. Kat didn't know who Alice was.
Right.
We do learn obviously we knew that Alice is named after Alice, but the actual origin here, Kat says, you know, I had a dream. Alice was there. I felt safe. If it's a girl, we should name her Alice. Mm-hmm. Great. Close that loop. Done. And then let's talk Evelyn Goodwin.
Okay.
I hate Evelyn Goodwin.
She's super bitch.
Look, they threw a party at your house. As far as I can tell, it's not like it was lit on fire. Things weren't broken. No big deal.
What is she holding over Del's head?
Yeah. And honestly, why does Del even care if her name gets in the paper? Like, there was a fight at a party. Big deal. Del plays the Colton and Jacob card. Like, please don't do this to us. Like, our family can't take it.
Right.
Fine. Use what you got. And Evelyn says, you owe me.
I read on Reddit that there's some history maybe between Evelyn and Colton.
Sure.
And that's why Evelyn doesn't like Del and so on and so forth.
They're the founding families of Port Haven.
I don't know. Maybe there's romantic interest that didn't. Who knows?
I buy it. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, seriously. So I got to say, like, I'm a little bit annoyed at the writers. Maybe. Do you think maybe the story got away from them a little bit? Like, they were going down this path of, like, this whole Lingamore thing, because they've been feeding Lingamore to us all season long, and then it ends up being, like, nothing?
Yeah, what is it about Evelyn? She does make a comment about how, like, oh, I don't really want to even go out anymore. Like, I just want to stay in my safe little home.
Mm-hmm.
And we see in the beginning of this season, there's just a shot of her chair looking out over her land.
Right.
Is there more?
Who knows? I guess season 3 will tell us, which we didn't even discuss at the top of the show.
That's right. It has been renewed for season 3, which I'm happy about.
Me too.
This leads us to the big estrangement. The reason that Del and Kat did not see each other for 15 years.
Yeah.
Kat returns home from the hospital. Del's actually very sweet. And then she gets a phone call that disturbs her. And she says, oh, I got Evelyn to keep our names out of the paper. This pisses Kat off because who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Kat doesn't. You know, Del's always been about the image. She was mad at Kat when she blew it at the paper.
Yeah.
She wants, you know, as soon as Kat came to down, she's really cared about how things look.
Mm-hmm.
Way more than Kat did.
Mm-hmm.
And then Del is on edge. We see the scene that we saw
last week.
She gives the check. It was from Brady's family, as yes. we had presumed. And Del gets pissed. Initially, she thinks Kat's coming home. Kat says she can't. I don't blame Kat. It is not a great place. Del's a hard woman to live with.
For sure.
And then Del says it should have been Jacob. Jacob should be the one here fighting for the land. And gotta say, don't blame Kat.
No way. I would have been like, peace.
Bye.
I mean, for Kat to have to come back after 15 years, like, that would have been so hard. Now I can understand better, like, how difficult it was for Kat to come back.
Mm. Knowing your mother felt that way.
Yes.
It would have been easier if we had lost you.
Awful. Awful.
Terrible. Kat takes Colton's guitar. Wendy pointed out, Kat says she's never coming back. And she says, because it should have been him. I heard that, perhaps incorrectly, when I thought she was just throwing it back at Del. Because it should have been Jacob, right? Like, that's why I'm leaving. But maybe she means it should be Colton here fighting for the land.
Yeah, that's how I understood it, is that that was that another blowback to Del. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you should be dead over mm-hmm. my wonderful dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, so uncomfortable.
Amidst all of this, Del is selling the Landry land. She does sign away the papers. In all of those scenes, we get these throwbacks to Jacob and the mommy mail.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see her seeing that almanac page.
Something.
It's interesting to me that we've already seen Kat see it, but now we know that it's meant for Del. So is that going to be the thing that convinces her in the final episode?
I don't have an answer for that.
She does sign away the land, and she says land comes and goes, but family is forever. And, you know, she had said, I kept it all these years for an Alice I had not yet met.
Yeah.
I mean, we know she's a better grandmother than a mother.
For sure.
The good ones are not gone. They own the land, so.
We're going to see them next week, I think. But maybe not. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, let's wrap up our discussion and talk about the present day Scooby Gang.
Okay.
And in the very beginning, we have this chaotic moment where Elliot's in the middle and Kat and Nick are yelling at him. And Kat blows their full cover. You mentioned, like, there's such an easy opportunity to make up a story.
100%.
And Kat's like, did you write everything down every time Alice was there? Kat, chill. So there goes.
But be in Nick's position. Okay, so they just tell Nick everything, right?
Yes.
And he's just totally fine with that. Like, how do you process that information?
He's not. He's like, Kat's kid and my Alice are the same person. I don't think he's fine with it, because later he says to Elliot, first of all, he asks the important question, how did Kat not realize that her kid looked like her old friend? And Elliot's like, oh, memories are fickle. But I'm like, good question, Nick. Mm-hmm. Kat, Del, all these people don't know. But he says, like, how could you let me fall for her? And Elliot's like, would you have believed me? Would you have listened to me? Which I think is a good point.
Well, he's listening to him now, though.
Yeah, but because the evidence is there. As a 16-year-old, Elliot's like, yo, dude, she time travels via pond. Be careful with that one. I just don't know. I don't think Elliot was wrong not to tell him. And they couldn't bring that many people because Kat didn't know. They can't tell Nick.
No, I know. But, like, I'm thinking about adult Nick, and he's like, all right, okay, yeah, okay, this is making sense. No, as me, if I were Nick, if I were a person and you told me today,
you'd be like that meme with the numbers floating around your head, like trying to make it all make sense.
Totally. I'm like, in a span of like 24 hours, they've given Nick, he's like fully accepted what they're telling him. I don't know. I think I would be like, GTFO, what are you guys are crazy. There's just no way.
I see what you're saying. He believes it.
Yeah.
I think he's still grappling with what it means. But yes, I think there's too many balls in the air to add in Nick not buying it. Like, they just have to skip right to he believes it. And I think there's enough evidence for him to believe it. Alice and Nick do have a very awkward moment together, mm-hmm. where they kind of, you know, realize who each other are. I guess this explains why I couldn't find you on Facebook line.
Hilarious.
So funny.
Hilarious.
He says, I think I saw you everywhere. And she said, well, I was at Lingamore. And she said, we were too far apart in many ways.
Yeah.
And she says, I was too young for 2007, but I'm too old for my current time. Like, I don't really fit.
Interesting. Yeah. I thought the show handled that well. I I had seen in so many like Reddit forums and Facebook forums how like people were trying to make Nick and Alice happen. And I was like, gosh. No, step away.
Right.
Stop it right now. So I like how they handled that. And he was like, my feet can't move fast enough. He was like, I'm out of here.
Yes. Even Kat says, and that conversation was supervised. Yeah. And Ellie's like, oh, yeah.
I was glad that they handled it that way.
Me too. Nick is processing this information rapid fire. And he's mad at Elliot. And he says, like, I feel like I don't know you. He was really mad that he was left out. I think he feels like he's the only one who wasn't in on it at the time. But the reality is no one was in on it at the time. Kat knows now. But Kat was not one of the first to know. I mean, even when Alice started time traveling, it took a while before Elliot let Kat in on that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he compares Elliot to Vic and says, you're just like him. You love feeling superior. And that's the worst thing you could say to Elliot.
For sure. That's why I think we need more. We need more in season three of Vic and Elliot.
To me, Elliot's reaction in that moment is not equal to the sleazeball that his father is.
Yeah, and I never saw what we did see of Vic. He never thought of himself as superior, I thought. Like, he always felt like kind of the underdog in the town. Like, his, you know, the Augustines were this underdog, and they were never, like, given the proper, like, whatever. That's, to me, is not someone who's, like, walking around with this ego.
But Nick and Elliot have their resolution. Nick says, tear down the wall. You're not him. Move on. You're a better man than he is. And Nick goes home to Claire. Elliot does have a little bit of a moment. I miss Colton. He's the dad I wish I had, which we knew. And he says, you know, I won't take your friendship for granted the way I took Colton's presence in my life for granted. Of course you took Colton's presence in your – you were a child. Yeah. Nobody sits around thinking that the people in their lives are not going to be there forever.
Let's talk about the final scene between Kat and Elliot.
It starts off as a joke, right? Like – Elliot's like, oh, Nick said you missed the best part of the ghost tour with Rita, and they're rattling around about the ghost of the lighthouse.
Yeah, and Kat has this big epiphany. Like, she goes, maybe it's the coins. And while I'm watching this, I was like,
coins?
Coins? Mm-hmm. What the hell is she talking about? But then I have this memory of them from a couple episodes back being in the lighthouse, and there were big sacks of, like, coins.
Yeah, the money they were skimming off the top of their shipments.
Yes, exactly. So I guess Kat is then reconciling that maybe the ghost is Thomas.
Isn't that what you said last week?
Yeah, it's like a throwaway joke. I don't even remember thinking seriously that it was him.
And then rushes to the Herald, looks at what you believe were execution records.
Yes, and sees Thomas's name in there.
Runs to the pond. And Elliot's like, you can't stop it. And Elliot, I think, partially doesn't want her to go because he knows she has feelings for this man.
Mm-hmm.
Is threatened by
some dude from 1814, which sounds ridiculous.
Exactly. So if Elliot had ever seen him. And says she just wants to say goodbye. Oh, I want to talk about this.
Yes.
Kat tells Elliot that she tried to bring Susanna back. And Elliot's like,
yeah.
And it seems like there's... I don't know what that reaction meant.
I don't know either, other than I kind of took it as like Elliot maybe thinking like, maybe I can travel in the pond. But he tried as a teenager, and then he knows that Susanna couldn't come. So I don't know why he made that, like, why he had this, like...
It just felt like a, remember this moment. So a lot's happening. Let's talk about what we liked.
For me, I'm still super invested in the 1814 stuff, like the Susanna Cat of it all, Tomcat. I need to know what happens after 1814. Like, I feel like in season three, we're not going to get any 1814. And I'm left, like, feeling like, but I need to know how that story, like, progresses. Yeah. Like, how do the Landrys and the founding families and whatever, how does that progress throughout the decades?
Yes. For me, I like that we get a lot of mini resolution moments. We find out origin of the hole in the wall. We find out what Evelyn had over the family. We find out what actually happened at Lingermore. We find out Nick and Alice, that situation is wrapped up. We learn what happened to the almanac, the origin of the explorer's line in the almanac. I like that they're bringing it on home.
Yeah, I wonder if we got so many, like, tied up storylines because they're like, well, if we don't get renewed for season two, season three, then we have to give the fans like some sort of resolution to all these like open ended.
We're going to get a lot of resolution. And then, of course, it's going to end on a cliffhanger. But I don't know. I don't know what the next episode holds. So let's talk unsolved mysteries.
Okay. We have go through your list. No horse, but let me tell you, I told Megan off mic, I saw a photo. I can't remember where I saw it at it. And unfortunately, I can't give you the credit because I can't remember. The photo was like a personal photo of the actor who plays young Elliot on set. And he's in front of he's at Lingamore during the party. And he's in front of the mantle. And behind him is an 8x10 photo of a horse.
A black horse.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So like
everyone's like, it's the horse.
It's the horse. But like, no, why?
Animals can time travel.
Yeah, I know. I don't. Guys, I don't know. I don't. Is the horse a Goodwin's horse then?
Right? Actually, do we know animals can time travel?
I don't know. Like, I never saw Finn in 1814.
Does Finn travel or does he just follow Finn to the pond and gets taken back?
I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like we're right up on answering the question about who was lurking in the bushes during the fireworks scene, but we're not there yet. We need to know about the cat portrait. I've seen some speculation that the time traveling travels on the Landry line, so perhaps Colton himself is a time traveler. We know he used the phrase, "My Catherine." I don't know. Obviously, there's elements that point to it being Thomas as well. We do know what happened at the Lingamore Estate. That is wrapped up. I feel good about that. I would be willing to accept that there's more because I felt like it's just this big dark spot on this entire season and it didn't deliver enough for me.
Agree.
But we do have some answers. Is there a deal with the soil? Is this a clue? Elijah says a Landry planted and a Landry will harvest. Del talks about the soil. Or is it simply that they're just so invested in this land? In the beginning, Del was going to tell Kat something. I almost wonder if she was going to tell her about needing to sell the land, about the fact that they'd lost their tenant and now they're going to have to sell. Maybe we've built this up in our minds to be more than it is.
Yeah, maybe.
Through the looking glass, apparently it's gathering dust on the shelf. I do feel that the stones that come loose in the fireplace are going to be, they're going to have their moment in episode 10.
For sure.
Where's Noah?
I don't know.
Our new addition. Where's Noah?
So disappointing.
I hope he comes back in episode 10 and season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, who is Evelyn Goodwin's son? He exists purely off camera in the form of an offer. I don't think we've seen the last of the Goodwin family. It seems odd to me that we would introduce Casey and then not have them come back.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps they're more of a season 3 storyline as well. I do imagine we'll see. We've got to see something of the Goodwins in episode 10 as well.
I hope so.
Yes, we found Jacob, and I appreciated that after his moment in last episode where his parting line to Kat is, "What took you so long?" He says, "Thank you for fighting so hard to save me."
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm going to be super disappointed if Jacob stays in 1814. I just love this actor so much. Like, I want to see him. I don't know how or where or when or how that works, but I want to see him in season 3.
Absolutely. My memory is that all the music in this episode is sweeping dramatic scores and no pop
music.
Well, that wraps our discussion of episode 9, season 2, The Way Home. We do have one more episode, the finale, coming on Sunday, March 31st, Easter Sunday.
Gotta tell you, I'm kind of bummed that the season's over. I really enjoy this show.
Me too.
Ugh, so sad.
We, of course, will be back with our discussion of that. And we will be back tomorrow with the discussion of Shifting Gears, starring one Tyler Hines and Kat Burrell. Come back for that. Hop into our Facebook group, Girls Gone Hallmark. And hey, if you're brand new to this podcast, we know there's lots of new listeners. We have an assignment for you, and it's really easy. Open the app that you use to listen to this podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and a review. Thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.